Welcome to Accent Africa audio recordings. This session was taught in Lesotho, Africa during an ACTS 1-8 conference in January 2014. The message is taught by Dr. Denny Miller and is called What It Really Means to Be Pentecostal. We hope you enjoy the teaching and would love to hear your comments. You may contact us at accentafrica@agmd.org.
Hallelujah! Well, I greet you again in the name of Jesus. So we have begun to move. And so Reverend Turney talked to you about the issue of the Holy Spirit and the mission of God. I think it's very important that we understand that God is a missionary God. Now, this is what we need to understand clearly. Missions does not begin with the church. Missions is not a creation of the church. Missions began with God. And when we do missions, we simply join with God in His mission. Now, I want to talk about us as Pentecostal people. I think you know your church is Pentecostal. Do you know that? Do you know Assemblies of God is Pentecostal? Now, some of our churches in Africa, some of our Pentecostal churches, they put Pentecostal in front of their name. For instance, we have the Pentecostal Assemblies of God in Rwanda. We have the Pentecostal Assemblies of God in Zambia. And so they put Pentecostal in front of their name. Most of us Assemblies of God, we don't put that in our name. Nevertheless, we are Pentecostal people. But this is a problem I see in Africa. Well, it's not only in Africa, it's around the world. The Pentecostal people are very confused. They don't know what it really means to be Pentecostal. So I ask you a question. What is your vision of Pentecostalism? If I were to ask you to take a piece of paper, and on that piece of paper, you were to complete this sentence. The sentence would begin like this. To be Pentecostal means. And I would want you to finish that sentence. What would you write? I tell you, we would write many different things, even in this room. Because we have no clear vision of what it means to be Pentecostal. You know, here in southern Africa, especially with Lesotho surrounded by South Africa, I'm sure there are many voices telling you what it means to be Pentecostal. You know, if we would take South Africa, Nigeria,
Uganda,
Ghana. From these four countries, you will get many, many versions of what it means to be Pentecostal. And so we need to address this issue. We as Assemblies of God need to know what it means to be Pentecostal. Let me share with you some of those visions of Pentecostalism. These are names I've given to these versions of Pentecostalism. There's one kind of Pentecostalism I call personal blessing Pentecostalism. To these Pentecostals, blessing is the most important word. You listen to their preachers and they use the word blessing, blessed. They use the word prosperity, breakthrough. These are the kind of words they use. Being Pentecostal is all about being more blessed. If you want to be more blessed, come to our church. We are a Pentecostal church. God will make you the head and not the tail. God will bless you going out and will bless you coming in. We will inherit the blessing of Abraham. Not really knowing what the blessing of Abraham is. The blessing of Abraham is that through his seed Jesus, that all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Oh, but they want to talk about, you know, wealth and prosperity. Now, we believe God blesses his people. We believe that. We are not opposed to that message that God blesses his people. But is that what it means to be Pentecostal? Does it mean we clamor, we seek, we grasp after blessing? Is that the heart, the essence of what it means to be Pentecostal? I submit to you that that is not what it means to be Pentecostal. Another kind of Pentecostals I call praise and worship Pentecostals. These people think to be Pentecostal means that we worship God in a certain style. For them to be Pentecostal is more about a style of music. We have praise dancers and we have banners. We have a nicely dressed praise team. And we have guitars and drums. So for some to be Pentecostal means that we sing and we dance in the church. I was in Malawi. I was in an Assemblies of God church. Actually, it was a Pentecostal Assemblies of God church. And there was a young man leading the service. And he was trying to encourage the people. And he was walking back and forth on the platform. And every once in a while he would turn to the people. And he would say, "Don't be surprised if you see someone clapping your hands in this church. Because we're Pentecostal." Hallelujah. Then he would walk some more. Then he turned to us. And he said, "Don't be surprised if you see someone dancing in this church. Because we're Pentecostal." Hallelujah. And then he walked some more. And he said, "Don't be surprised if you see someone falling down in this church. Because we're Pentecostal." Hallelujah. And I was out in the congregation. And I was thinking that this young man is defining for us what he thinks it means to be Pentecostal. He thinks to be Pentecostal means we clap our hands, we dance, and we fall down. It sounds to me like a football game. Now, I believe in clapping hands. I believe sometimes the power of God comes upon us and we fall before the Lord. I believe that. Now, I believe most of the falling down in Pentecostal churches is just falling down. But I do believe God comes upon us in power and we're overcome. I believe that. I believe in dancing before the Lord. I believe God is pleased when we do that with a pure heart. But is that what it means to be Pentecostal? I think it must mean more than that. The third kind of Pentecostal I call domesticated Pentecostal. Do you know that word, domesticated? Well, let me define it and we will. To be domesticated means you take a wild animal and you tame it. You know, we have our dogs that are some of us, you know, we Americans, we keep them in our house sometimes. Well, that's what we do. We learned that from the British. And then, you know, we have these cats, you know, these small cats. These are called domesticated animals. Dogs were once wild, but now their tail goes like this, and we pet them on the back. There is a kind of Pentecostalism that has been tamed. I was once watching television, and this man had this lion. It was a male lion with a mane, a big one, a big cat. And he had a rope around the lion's neck. And he was walking along, and the lion was following him. That's some Pentecostal churches today. Pentecostal churches that once had the power and the strength that comes from God. But there are some who are trying to tame the church. So we don't want to do anything that would make anybody uncomfortable. Well, is that your vision of Pentecostalism? So we can be accepted by the rest of the evangelicals, or we will stop speaking in tongues. We will stop praying loudly for sick people to be healed. Oh, we will stop casting out demons because it makes certain people uncomfortable. Well, that's some people's view of Pentecostalism. And then there's signs and wonders Pentecostals. To them, to be Pentecostal is all about miracles. It's all about the miraculous. Come to our church and God is going to give signs and wonders. Now, I believe strongly in signs and wonders. I wrote an entire book on it. It's used in our Bible schools. It's called Power Encounter or Power Ministry. So I believe in this. But does signs and wonders by themselves make us Pentecostal? There's another kind of Pentecostals. I call these spectator Pentecostals. These are the kinds of Pentecostals that go to the large meetings to admire their favorite prophet. You know, to watch him move in the spirit. You know, he walks. He talks. He operates in all nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Come and see the apostle prophet moving by the Spirit. And so all of them show up. And they marvel at the prophet of God. Oh, God has given him another revelation. Oh, what does he have to say for us? Oh, it's time to give the offering. And the more offering I give, the bigger blessing I will get. And so we have this spectator kind of Pentecostalism. It looks very much like the, you know, the popular singers and the popular they do all the acting and we just admire them. Now let me say, there are some true men of God that God is using. And I'm not opposed to that. But what I'm opposed to is us thinking that some way we can be Pentecostal and not be moving in the Spirit ourselves. You see, true Pentecostalism is the great democratizer. It makes all of us even. It is the leveler. Are we getting it? All right. See, the true Pentecostalism says that all of God's people are prophets. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God. I will pour out my spirit on all humankind. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Even on my servants in those days will I pour out of my spirit. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And all of my people will be prophets. See, a true Pentecostal church is a community of last days prophets empowered by the Spirit to take the gospel to the lost world. So God has made us a prophethood of all believers. All believers should be filled with the Spirit and be prophets. Now, I'm not suggesting that you put prophet in the front of every one of your names. That would get a bit confusing. I'm not even very excited about titles anyway. You will find on all of my books the title Doctor is missing. I don't put it there. You either got it or you don't got it. And the title is not going to give it to you. That's just the way I feel. I'm not opposed to it, but that's the way I feel. But God wants all of us to be Spirit-inspired proclaimers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This spectator Pentecostalism is false Pentecostalism. You know, I heard something that disturbed me a little bit. Can I be honest with you? And it don't just disturb me here, it disturbs me all over the world. When a pastor says to me, I must be at my church on Sunday because there's no one else to preach. I said, are you pastoring a Pentecostal church?
Okay.
One of my chief jobs as pastor is to teach my people how to preach. I must be equipping my people to preach the gospel. Pentecostal people should be able to tell people about Jesus. Can nobody stand up and tell a story about Jesus and exhort people to follow Jesus? We have to rethink what it means to be a pastor. We are mobilizers of the church to get them out doing the work of God. But there's these spectator Pentecostals. They're there. You see them. You see them. Maybe you are one. I don't know. If you are, by the end of this conference, we hope things have changed. No spectators in the church. Everybody's a participator. And everybody can be a participant. Because every believer can be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why you need every one of your members filled with the Holy Spirit. One of your main jobs as pastor is to see every member in your church filled with the Holy Spirit. If you have a member who is not filled with the Spirit, you should be laying in your bed at night saying, oh no, oh no, I have a member who's not filled with the Spirit. I can't sleep. That member, he's not yet been filled with the Spirit. It's that important.
Yeah.
But there's another kind of Pentecostal. And I call these Pentecostals authentic. That means real, genuine, true. True Pentecostals. Real Pentecostals. Now, I do believe that God blesses Pentecostals. I do believe we should worship Him in spirit and truth. I do believe that we should not do strange things just because they're strange. I don't believe in strangeness. I believe in signs and wonders. I believe sometimes God elevates certain people and uses them to speak broadly. But that's not what it means to be Pentecostal. Let me share with you what it means to be authentically Pentecostal. Now let me repeat something Reverend Turney said earlier. Where shall we go for our model, our vision, our answer to what it means to be really Pentecostal? Where will we find our answer?
The
Where
shall we go to define ourselves?
Far too often we go to the popular culture.
We see a certain kind of minister that is doing a certain thing.
And he's having great success.
Recently, I drove by the Winner's Chapel in Nairobi, Kenya.
A massive, massive building.
It was breathtaking. And we say, well, they're having success.
They must be true.
Well, let me remind you, Islam is having success.
Yeah.
Radical Islam is having success. They're growing. Does that make it true? Does success verify that it's true? So do we look to others for an answer?
No.
We look to the Bible. We as Pentecostals are people of the book. We are people of the book. If it's in the Bible, we believe it. If it's not in the Bible, we're not interested. We are not chasers of success. Now, God wants us to be successful. But we don't chase success. We follow Scripture. And there is no book that better defines Pentecostals than the book of Acts. In fact, It was some people who began to reread the book of Acts about 100 years ago. People began to read the book of Acts with new eyes. And they said if it happened in the book of Acts, it should happen today. And it was out of that reading that the modern Pentecostal movement was born. We hold the
Bible closely to our hearts.
We're not interested in anything that we cannot verify in Scripture. All right, let me define for you what it means to be Pentecostal. Now I want you to get out your pencil and paper. I'm going to try to give to you a definition of what it really means to be Pentecostal. To be truly Pentecostal means at least four things. Number one, to be Pentecostal means we proclaim the same message as did the church in the book of Acts. We are not looking for a new message. We proclaim the same message as did the church and the apostles in the book of Acts. And what was that message? I can define it for you in one word. That message was Jesus. Our message is Jesus. We preach Jesus. We don't preach about ourselves. We don't talk about our miracles. We talk about Jesus. Philip went down to Samaria, and there he preached Christ unto them. Now there is a Greek word That Greek word is kerygma.
Kerygma. Kerygma.
It is a word that is translated proclaim in the book of in the Bible. The kerygma, the proclamation. And so the theologians talk about the apostolic kerygma, the message of the apostles. And so what I've done, I've gone into the book of Acts. And you know, the book of Acts has several sermons. So I used my computer. And so in my computer, I'm able to take those sermons and take them out of the Bible and put them on a piece of paper. You know, you can do that on computers. And so I had this long column of all the sermons in the book of Acts. Then in the next column, I began to list the subjects that they preached on in the book of Acts. Here are some of the things they preached on in the book of Acts. Number one, Jesus is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Jesus was indeed the Messiah and the Son of God. Jesus died for our sins according to the Scripture. God raised him from the dead. Jesus has now ascended to the right hand of the Father. And he's poured out the Spirit upon us. Now we must repent of our sins. And we must put our faith in Jesus Christ alone. That is the message of the New Testament church. You know, when I was teaching in Malawi, many times we would go with the students and we would go out in my car and we would go to the markets and preach the gospel. And I had this speaker we would put on top of the car and we would sing and get a crowd and preach. Oh, we did that many times. Many people came to the Lord. But I used to tell my students, you will not have to stay up all night studying for your sermon. First, it will only be about 5 minutes long.
Just 5 minutes.
Yeah, and you know, in the market, you don't preach an hour. You just preach short. Secondly, what you will do is tell them who Jesus is. Tell them how he died on the cross. Tell them how he's the Savior of the world. Tell them that God raised him from the dead. Tell them that he demands for them to repent and put their faith in him. That is our message as Pentecostals. Preach Jesus. Stop preaching all the foolishness. And tell people about Jesus. There is only one message that will get people from earth all the way to heaven. And that is the message of Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That is our message. Jesus saves. Jesus heals. Jesus baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is coming again. Believe on the Lord Jesus. Repent of your sins. Follow him. That's the message that will change the world.
Hallelujah.
Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. So, if you want to be truly Pentecostal, make Jesus the center of all your
preaching.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's what it means to be Pentecostal. Number two. To be truly Pentecostal means we share the same mission as the church in the book of Acts. We're going to talk a lot about mission this week. What is the mission of the church in the book of Acts? Well, it is best stated in Acts chapter 1 verse
8.
You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That is our mission. That is the mission statement of the church. For you who study leadership, organizational leadership, we talk about mission statement. Jesus left the church with a mission statement. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. To be Pentecostal means you embrace that mission. We embrace that mission. Our mission is not to build as big a church as we can.
The mission statement is our not about how to get a whole Kamoka Katanga, the Kamoka Honankati.
Our mission is not to, you know, to plant a church here and there. Our mission is not to, you know, get a corporate job, a job in the national church office. That's not our mission. Pastor, your mission is not to pastor 20 people. That's not your mission. Our mission is to be Christ's witnesses. In Jerusalem. That means your home. That means where you live. In Judea, that means all the area around you. In Samaria, that means those people that nobody else cares for, but you care for. Ends of the earth, that means the Comoros Islands and beyond. That's our mission. The mission of the Pentecostal church is not to make its members prosper. Now, we believe in prosperity. You want your members to prosper. You want your church to grow. But that's not the mission. The mission is bigger than that. You want your church to prosper so it can take the gospel further and faster. The Pentecostal church came into existence to reach the nations with the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that's why we exist. Number three. To be truly Pentecostal means we embrace the same experiences as did the church in the book of Acts. We are a people of experience. We believe in spiritual experience. Pentecostalism was a rebellion against the dead church. The Pentecostalism arose because people were not satisfied with deadness in the church. We believe in experience. But not just any experience. We believe in the experiences we find in the book of Acts. I remember in those days in Malawi. One prophet would arise. And he had the Joshua anointing. The Joshua anointing. Another one had the Elijah anointing. Another one had the Moses anointing. Well, I guess as many Bible characters as there are, you can choose that anointing. I don't know. Let's stop the foolishness. Let's get with the Bible. All I want is the anointing from heaven that will empower me to take the gospel to lost people. And that will move me and my people out into the highways and hedges to reach the lost. What are the experiences we find in the book of Acts? I'm talking of experiences from God. Experiences from God. Number one. People had a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. Jesus called it being born again. But they would come in contact with Christ. They would encounter Christ. And their life would be changed. Their lives would be changed. We need to see people's lives change. Preach the kind of gospel that people will be truly born again. We want to see people born again. That's one. Number two, we saw people healed by the power of God. As the gospel advanced, signs and wonders and miracles would take place. Not miracles just for miracles' sake, but miracles to advance the gospel. We see this in the book of Acts. People had visions in the book of Acts. Sometimes they saw angels. But every time they had a vision or saw an angel, it motivated them to go and reach the lost even more. One time an angel appeared unto Peter and John. Said, "Don't be afraid. But go. Stand and speak all the words of this life." We believe in those things. We believe in those things. But the experience that defines us as Pentecostals most, and the experience most emphasized in the book of Acts, is an experience that Jesus called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And he commanded his disciples not to leave Jerusalem until they had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts teaches that this is an experience separate from salvation. It's for believers. Its purpose is to empower them to preach the gospel. It is experienced with the experience is evidenced by speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives
utterance.
And it's an experience for every believer in the church. We believe that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And finally, to be truly Pentecostal means we use the same methods as is the church in the book of Acts. I think my time is about gone, so I will just share a couple of their primary method. Was spirit anointed proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number two, that proclamation was followed by signs, wonders, and miracles. Number three, they planted churches that were full of the Spirit and focused on reaching the lost. Churches that would take care of themselves and reach the lost with the gospel. There's other things we find in the book of Acts, but these four things are important. Same message, the message of Christ. Same mission, to be Christ's witnesses to the end of the earth. Same experiences, dramatic encounters with God, new birth, healing, baptism in the Holy Spirit. Same methods. Preaching the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit, with signs following. Planting churches that are full of the Spirit. And churches that are reaching out to plant other churches. We, during this decade of Pentecost, we have come to a fork in the road, a crossroad, a divide. Do we want to continue as we are? Or do we want to return to being an authentic Pentecostal movement? I pray that our choice will be that we want to be truly Pentecostal. Let's stand together, please.